Okay, we're back to business. So, we took a little break, 10 minutes or so, and while we were in the break, the application we deployed was just deployed, and here it is. So here we can see our two roles, and we can see the URL of the application, and the application starts, and we're happy to go. So we just succeeded in deploying a new application to the cloud. So I won't upload any more kits. Okay? These are the pictures we uploaded earlier to the cloud. So let us continue. Here comes testing. So, how do we do testing in the cloud?
I've been wondering that.
That's a very nice question. Fair question. How do you do testing in the cloud? So, first, the cloud is a system test. The cloud means system tests. So you cannot do your simple code tests in the cloud. Those are for production for your local environment. So test-driven development, etc. Although unit testing are all done at home, using Visual Studio, using the emulator. And when we go up to the cloud, this means system tests, etc. So you have to test the app after it is deployed. Now, from my experience, I can tell you that some issues will arise when you deploy your app to the actual cloud, things you haven't seen in the emulator. For example, when you use storage, I won't go into details in the API. When you use storage, the name of the container should be in lowercase. Now, if you use uppercase, in the emulator, you will not see that. The emulator will work. But when you go to the actual cloud, those uppercase names for your blobs containers will fail. So this is just an example of an issue that you will not see with the cloud emulator. You will see only in the public cloud, which means that you have to take your app and to test it from beginning to end when it is on the cloud. You have to do that. Now, to test your app, you use the staging slot. You will not use a production slot. It's not like a debug versus release. It is a release, but it is staging just for you to have a private URL not exposed for your customer. After everything works out, testing works out, only then you can upgrade it to the production slot. Now, what kind of tests do you have to do concerning an app when it is in the cloud? So, as I said, unit testing are not here, not applied to the cloud. System tests and forwards apply to the cloud, which means you have to do the whole system integrating testing and the user acceptance testing, which means that you have to make sure that the actual functionality that your users are after actually works in the cloud. For example, if there are performance issues and the latencies, the web latencies that we're dealing with, well, they are not acceptable in your actual app. And now you took this app and you put it into the cloud, and then you have a 1 second latency, for example, and the user does not accept that. Well, you have an issue here, and you have to figure out how you sort it. Now, sometimes the latency is not because of the actual access to your app, it's because of the latency for your app to access the data from Azure Storage or from other types of storage in the cloud. Maybe this can be solved. Maybe Azure caching can be used, or maybe other types of caching, maybe CDN will be better for you, et cetera, et cetera.
We'll be talking about some of those in the elasticity talk on Friday.
Okay, so we'll speak about that. Mm-hmm. But you see those issues when you do your user acceptance testing.
I never cease to be amazed at the kinds of things that, you know, you sort of get used to when you're a developer, and they just don't catch in your... And then when some brand new person comes at it with a second set of eyes, it just blows my mind what they find that's just been under my nose for the last, you know, 3 months, and I just stopped seeing.
Now, you know, users are not only human beings. Mm-hmm. Users can be other application, other line of business applications.
True, too.
Especially
true.
When you're working with services, WCF mm-hmm. services. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You might expose a service to the cloud as a WCF service, and this WCF service might expose data as REST or as SOAP, as OData, or as any standard that you want. Now, the question is, those line of business applications, do they call your app correctly? Do they can they really connect to the data that you want to expose? Is there a full interoperability that was supposed to be? So this is something that you have to test. Now, the cloud supports all sorts of standards. It is standardized. It uses OData. It uses REST. It uses HTTP. It uses SOAP. You can do all those stuff, but eventually you have to test that everything connects correctly. Now, if you look at the SLA that Microsoft ships, it's a great SLA, but it focuses...
Compared to other ones, yes.
Yeah, it's a great SLA, but it focuses on the amount of time that your app is available. 99.999% of the time your app is available. It does not focus on the throughput and latencies because, now Microsoft is like a normal hoster. When it hosts your app. Now, hoster will never promise you that the latency will be between this and that. It cannot because there are so many hops on the way. It's a web app.
And there are many. I mean, you got to hit the routers and, you know, bounce off the routers, overloaded with people downloading porn and stealing movies and things like this. And, you know, there's just nothing. You have no control over the routing of your request, and you will hit nodes, and that's just that.
Okay. So, now, when you have an on-prem app, with on-premise apps, you're dealing with latencies, you're dealing with throughput, this is something that you do write in your SLA. Now it's gone. Now the question is, can you deal with it? What's happening? Does your solution meet the SLA concerning throughput and latencies? Now your customers, they are very very much interested in those parameters. So this is something that you have to test.
Mm-hmm. And they really don't care if you say, well, it's not my fault I was slow, it was Azure back there. Are they going to accept that as an excuse?
Oh, no. They need to get a certain throughput, and you have to provide that. So there are so many solutions that you can use. You can scale out. This is what we said about the cloud. You can create more instances so you can get more throughput, etc. But you have to test that your throughput is correct.
Very true.
To do that, you can do stress testing, and you check the scaling policy that you used. You'll speak about storage tomorrow.
I will.
And we'll speak there about scaling the storage and how you scale it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can tell you that if you don't use the storage correctly, you mm-hmm. will not scale.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, so the promise of scaling out is great, but you have to actually get it. And you get it if you use the cloud correctly.
Scaling is relatively rare that scaling is a pure resource problem. I mean, it happens, but it's not.
Yeah.
You know, almost always when you are slow and your throughput is down, you are almost always bottlenecked somewhere. You know, it is very rare. I mean, you look at the highways out there. It is very, very rare that they're just so full of cars, nothing happens. They really get jammed up when there's an accident, and everybody gets bottlenecked from four lanes down to three. That's the kind of thing that really knocks the stuffing out of
us. So you have to test and see that the behavior under load is as expected.
Absolutely. Yes, indeed.
I can tell you from the cloud perspective, when you're looking at the Azure, when you look at the performance of the Azure cloud itself, you can see that it scales. It scales mm-hmm. great.
You bet.
The question is, will your app scale great?
Mm-hmm.
And it has lots to do with how you design it.
Oh, yes. Cool. I mean, and the problems have been around for a long time. I remember this guy back in 2003, he had this 32 processor machine. They spent an umpteen gazillion dollars. And he wrote all of his COM objects in Visual Basic 6 using a single threaded apartment. And so he had one processor running at light speed to handle all of the object requests, and the other 31 processors just heating up the room. And it was,
so the same thing
goes. Design, simple as that.
The same thing goes here.
Yes.
So do you use the resources?
Mm-hmm.
Like in any new technology, there are new challenges and new failures and mm-hmm. new kinds of failures. And will your app recover from those
new
failures?
New ways to shoot yourself in the head that you just never imagined.
So the cloud promised you that if an instance fails, it will be backup.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Okay.
I knew it.
But application-wise speaking, the question is, will your application catch and handle those faults and handle them correctly? Let's say, for instance, you fail to authenticate against the storage, or the storage access control policy expired and now you cannot get to the data. What happens then? These are new stuff that are relevant to the cloud only, and you have to test against those. Security testing. Well, we'll speak about security. But you have to test that you comply with regulations, and when we speak about Azure as a whole, the cloud as a whole, we are speaking about web applications. Now, web applications, these are applications that introduce new security challenges. Now, if you take an on-prem application, which was not a web application, and now you migrate it to the cloud, now you create a web application, so now you have new challenges to face, and now you have to test that you do mitigate threat and problems, security problems that might be introduced only because you migrated the app to the cloud and you now converted the app to be a web application. We'll speak about that in details when we speak about security.
Okay.
So, we've tested the app. The app works great. And now it's time for management. So, to manage the app, we have zPortal. This is the first management tool. It is in HTTP or HTTPS windowsazure.com. Of course, you'll be authenticated first with your live ID.
It's a lot nicer now, isn't it? It's a lot nicer now in that Silverlight implementation, isn't it?
Of course. Yeah. Things are getting better, and the pace of new features and new stuff in the cloud is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a short time ago when the old portal was released, and now we have a new portal with much more functionality. So we'll get into that in a minute. And let's go to the portal and see what we can do. So here is the portal. We'll switch to the portal. Here it is. So now you get to see it. So what I can see here, I can see the hosted services and storage. So here are my two hosted services. I can see the state. And I can work with those. First, for each application, for each service, I have lots of information back here. I have the DNS. I have the time it was created. I have the endpoints. I have the OS version. What version of the Azure OS I'm using, and I can specify exactly what type of version I want. I can say any, which means if you have a new fix, no problem, and I can specify in my configuration file that I want to use a certain OS version. So I can see all this information about my app. I can go and reconfigure it. So I can take an app, and then I can see the configuration file that you uploaded earlier. Remember that we had a package,
yes,
and we had a configuration file? So this is a configuration file. Here it is, wide open. And if I want to have a new instance or more instances, I can say, please give me 4 instances and not 2 instances. Okay? So what's the warning?
You're on the development storage there. That's the...
Okay, but that's the agnostic connection string, so I don't really care about that.
Right.
That's okay with me.
Well, then say yes.
Yes.
See what it does.
Okay. And we'll hope for good. So here it is. We configured the application, and now new instances will be coming up, and we'll see how fast it goes. We can upgrade a whole application. So we can say, no, we don't want to do just some configuration change, which is sort of quick. We want to take the whole package, and we want to reinstall that. We can do that as well. We can switch between staging and production. So this is a virtual IP. Here we are. We have the new instances. They're coming. They're coming. You can see that pretty quick. But let's take the other service, and I can say, oh, I want to switch to production. So, yes, switch to production.
Deployed in one slot with those in the other slot. That's... It's a little bit cryptic, wouldn't you say?
Slot is the name for production versus staging. So things are happening now here as well. So that's it. Now, if we'll go back to the URL, now the URL looks much better. Looks jumpstart1.cloudapp.net, and that's me.
Yes.
Okay. By the way, there was a question, can I design the URL to my domain? And
yes.
The question is, yes, I can do so. Now, using...
I'm sure the person was going to say, okay, now how?
Yeah, I'll show that later on.
All right.
I can swap, configure the operating system if I want to. I can go to a certain instance, and I can connect to it using Azure Connect. Now, for this particular instance, I did not enable Connect, so I cannot do that just now, but I can do a remote desktop from here to my... Azure web role or whatever role, and then I can debug it, and I can manage it, and I can bring it up and bring it down, etc. So that's very, very important. I can reboot the actual machine. I can re-image the actual machine. Now, rebooting is exactly what we do at home. When they tell you that there is a problem, so what do? You press the on... off button again and reboot the machine. This is what a computer geek would do, right?
That's exactly what a computer geek
would do. They tell us that you have a problem in the car, just step out of the car and then come in.
No, we'll just swap tires till we figure out which one's flat.
Okay. So I can reboot the actual VM, and if I want, I can re-image the VM, because the operating system, the base operating system is there. So I can say, okay, I've done some problems and I've done some stuff. I want to go back to my first operating system, my original one, so I can re-image my instance. But I can do a lot more.
By the way, I'm told that the link to Jumpstart 1 works fast from Norway as well.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, a tip of the old hat and a kilogram of lutefisk to Mats for asking that good question.
That's fantastic. this is about the hosting and the storage account. I can enable CDN. You'll speak about CDN tomorrow.
Yes, a little bit. I see how deep we want to go.
I can go to SQL. SQL Azure. I will speak about SQL Azure.
Yes.
And manage SQL Azure, so I can do that from the portal. Okay. Now, a portal is pretty new. So concerning the service bus of App Fabric, they don't support yet the new portal. So they say, hey, we go back to the old portal, mm-hmm. which looked like this. So that's the old portal kind of UI. Mm-hmm. You can see the difference between the...
Well, it's HTML instead of Silverlight. And,
yeah.
And here's a good example of how much nicer you can make it.
Of course. And if I want to do Azure Connect and I want to handle a virtual network, I could do that as well. But it's out of the scope of this discussion just now. So there's a lot that we can do, a lot of information that we can get for any type of entity concerning our service just here from the portal. So this is the first tool that we will use and might be the only tool that we will use managing our app. We'll go back to the deck. But we might want to automate stuff, or we might want to use some tools.
I get asked that a lot. You know, they say, yes, it's great for the restaurants to, or whoever, to spin up the few instances at 10 o'clock every morning and spin them down at 2 o'clock. They don't want those human touch points.
Of course.
They want to be able to just set it and have it done automatically. So
of course.
That's something I get a lot of call for.
The IT pros, they like command line stuff.
Yeah, but you can't. Yeah, there aren't that. There are fewer and fewer of those available every day. You know,
they love scripts, and they love API,
mm-hmm.
and of course the Azure Cloud supports that. Mm-hmm. So it is possible to write actual software that will do exactly what we did in the portal manually. We can write software that does that, and this software can read rules and be scheduled mm-hmm. or whatever. And create, spin up new instances or take down instances or create new deployments and bring down deployments and do et cetera. Whatever was done can be done using the API.
And in fact, that portal is, you know, a UI on top of.
Of course.
There's nothing magic about it.
The portal uses the API.
I would probably expect to see some third-party tools on this before too long.
There are many.
Uh-huh.
There are many, and as we speak, tools are being developed, and mm-hmm. Every day we have more and more tools there.
Sure.
And this is concerning the hosted services. This is concerning the storage accounts.
Mm-hmm.
This is concerning the certificates that we have
yep.
deployed. Now, we use those certificates to authenticate against the accounts we have, against the subscriptions
mm-hmm.
we have.
Sure.
So we need a certificate. And as we've seen with Visual Studio, that we use a certificate to authenticate against our subscription and deploy our app, we do the same here with the API. Now, we can work against the API in code, and it's not a very complicated API, maybe even simple API,
mm-hmm.
or we can use simple tools that abstract the API for us. So, I'll show here CSPAC, CSRun, CSManage, and PowerShell. All these are tools which are designed for IT pros kind of people, command line tools, scripting tools that you can use, and these abstract the API, so you don't really have to write code to access the API and to do all those management tasks without the portal. Of course, if you want, you can access the API by yourself and write code to do. CSPAC is a very simple tool, and what it does, it creates your app, and it creates a package. That's it. Okay? Now, when I used the Windows Azure SDK, without even noticing, I used the CS spec.
Yes.
As you've seen, I did F5, and it was written here, deploy packaging, packaging the app, blah, blah, blah. This is it.
It's just like CLickOnce deployment, Visual Studio using the internal CLickOnce deployment in the .NET framework for doing CLickOnce deployment. It's conceptually the
exactly the same thing. So a very simple command line. So I'm doing CS back against a certain service that I want to deploy.
Sure.
And this will create the package that you deployed 2 hours ago, was it?
Thereabouts.
Yeah, something like that, that you deployed to the actual cloud. If I want to work against the local emulator, all I have to do is do slash copy only, which means don't really create a package, just copy that to the emulator, that's all we need.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly what Visual Studio does. CS run, again, it's a command line tool. Again, Visual Studio runs it, and we can run it as well. And what it does, it takes that deployment package that we just created, and it deploys it and runs it. So, we'll take the packaging that we just created, and now we can stop, we can run. So, These basic tasks that we need to do against our deployment can be done using the tool CSRun. If you want to do something a little bit more complex, let's say we want to get some information about a certificate. We want to get some information about a subscription. We want to upload a new certificate. We want to scale up. So for that, we have the CS manage. Well, we deployed, we run, now we manage. So we have CS manage. .exe, and this allows us to do all those management tasks, which are much more complex, using a very simple scripting or a configuration file, and we'll see that in a minute. So, we write such a configuration file, and let's see what it does. You take a service and you suspend it, okay? Here, we suspend it. We suspend the service. Maybe we'd like to delete the service. So here it is. We deleted it. Okay? Maybe we want to create a new deployment. Or maybe we'd like to run a deployment from the staging environment. All this can be done using the tool CSManage.
Sure.
PowerShell is the final tool. PowerShell is the most powerful tool, I would say. And I would expect that an IT pro would work most of the time with PowerShell.
I don't know. Would you expect an IT pro with it? I mean, I only see devs using it myself. Yeah, even the...
You can script with PowerShell very easily.
Okay.
And I would expect IT pros to write those command scripts with all the things they need to do. And again, it abstracts all the service management API, and it is very, very powerful. Now, to work with PowerShell, what you need to do, I'll go to PowerShell. You need to download and install all the snap-ins, the PowerShell.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And to do that, we'll go to the site. Here it is. So you go to Azure Commandlets, you download and install, and then you can use PowerShell. Very simple. And here you have all the help you need concerning those commandlets. And as you can see here, I don't want to get into scripting, etc., but I ask to see all the commandlets and what they can do. So in a brief look, you can see that you can add a certificate, you can get certificates, you can create a new deployment, you can delete a new deployment, you can get its status, etc., etc. There's lots that you can do here with PowerShell. The beauty about PowerShell is the pipeline. So, okay, the beauty is the pipeline. So, just for an example, a very simple script goes here. First, I define all my variables. I need a certificate, etc., etc. And after having that, I can get a service, and then I get the production slot, and then I get the running stuff in the production slot. And then I want make it just run. Or that's a very common task. I want to get a certain service. I want to scale up. I want to have another instance. And let's say I want to have that script scheduled, well, every day at 12 noon. Because every day at 12 noon, I know I need another instance. And every day at 8 p.m., I know I need to scale down. So I can have a very simple set of commands written here in a script and run it using a scheduler. Sure. So what do I do now? Again, I get the subscription, I get the slot from the production, and then what I do is I set the configuration to B plus one. That's it. So again, using the pipelines, I can do very diverse operations using command shell. So, we spoke about automation. So, not only PowerShell can help here, your code can help here as well, and all those tools can help here. And you have to find the right combination for you. You can write scripts to MS Build, so you can upload stuff to the cloud in the build process, if that's required.
Right, and the things that you build that you're going to have to give to your customers are going to be very different. You're going to have to very dumb tools for your customer. The guy at Domino's is not going to want to think about CSPAC.exe. I mean, the guy's going to say, "Oops, Super Bowl Sunday, bump it up by three."
So you just create the right scripts,
exactly,
and you abstract them to your customers,
yes.
And so you can do all sorts of stuff without seeing the portal at all.
Very true.
Okay. there are many examples, by the way.
Oh, of course.
On the web, just
there are lots of good examples of most things here. That's one thing I like about it. That's I remember the days before the web, right? When we were in school, there wasn't any web, and you didn't see. Sometimes you saw something on CompuServe, but
now, I would want to refer a little bit to scaling up and down because here to spin another instance, this is what you do in the cloud. This is what it's all about, by the way.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You spoke about the new burst, unexpected. Unexpected performance that we need to provide, etc., etc. So this is what we actually do. We will scale up and down.
Mm-hmm.
So to do that, you have to monitor. You have to monitor what is your performance just now. Are you okay? Do you need more performance? And there are many, many ways that you can do that using the diagnostics that we will speak later. I have a session about that tomorrow.
I think that's so.
Oh, yeah. You can look at the state of the queues. You can look at the state of performance counters, etc., etc. And from that, you can understand, do you need another instance? And if so, you can call A, those tools, B, you can call the API directly and spin up another instance. You can have policies, as you mentioned before, scheduled policies. mm-hmm. or a rule-based policy.
Yeah, you look in the, you check the queue length every so often, and it's been up a... I was just in the drugstore the other day. There was a big sign for the cashiers. If you see three people waiting, call another cashier.
Let's say your business has different rules, and you want to spin up instances according to your business rules, so you can do that as well. So there are a diverse span of operations. It's really diverse. You can do all sorts of stuff to manage your service and to gain the right performance and the right amount of resources that you really need. So the slogan "pay as you use" is not just a slogan; it is reality. You can really do so if you manage your service correctly. And now there's upgrade. You want to upgrade your service. There's two possibilities that you can use. First is you can create a new package. Go to the portal and just click upgrade, and then you get the new package. When you're doing so, you'll have to wait 20 minutes before the upgrade is up. And not just that, it's a big thing. It's a big thing. If you have a very small upgrade, especially in the web environment, in the web role, you can use web deploy. That's a new thing. It was introduced in the PDC. Unfortunately, it's not in production yet, so I cannot show it. But in a very short amount of time, it will be there, in a few months or so. And so the web deploy that we know and love from IIS is there. And we can just go to the web application, not to the cloud cloud project as we did before. We can go to the web project and click publish. When we do that, we see the web deploy. And with the web deploy, we can redeploy our app in amount of seconds. And that's amazing. That's an amazing stuff. Now, we have to remember that this is a web app. And this web app can run now as a full IIS. Now, to do that, the default is to have a section in the configuration file called site. Mm-hmm. And this section in the configuration file means that we are running in a full IIS, which means that we can connect to our application with IIS, and we can manage our application with IIS. For instance, we want to manage the application pool. Okay? We want to manage authentication. We want to manage models, ASP.NET models, and handlers, etc. We can do so exactly that like we do in a normal web application using IIS, which has a very good UI. Would you agree with me?
I do.
A UI expert. They have a very good and powerful UI, so I can use that powerful UI to manage my applications.
Very flexible UI. It's not for beginners.
No.
Say IIS is not for beginners, and you're probably right. Still.
So, let's say we upgrade our application. Now we will enjoy from default and upgrade domains. Because what happens? What happens then when we upgrade an application? Does this mean that the whole app goes down? My customer still uses my application. I promise availability for 99.99%. Now I'm upgrading my application. Will that stop my service from running? And the question is no. The question is no. What happens here, I'm enjoying from default domains and upgrade domains that I'm gaining from the cloud. Now, what is a full domain? A full domain means that if my application is installed somewhere and this somewhere shuts down, let's say I have a rack of computer. There is a rack up there.
No. And some idiot yanks the plug out.
And someone takes the plug out. Will my application will go down. Now, this fault domain, of course, will go down, but I don't want my app to go down. Mm-hmm. So the fabric controller if I have more than one instance, this is why yep. why you've seen that exactly. warning. If I have more than one instance, what will happen? That the fabric controller will spread my app between two different fault domains, and this is done automatically. Now the default is two, but if I want, I can get more fault domains, which means that even more than one rack can go, and still my application will be up and running. Upgrade domains are something different. Upgrade domains means how my application is being upgraded. And we'll go and see that. So, if I have an application to run, my application is being deployed in two different fault domains.
Okay.
As we just said.
Yep.
Okay. Now, my app has two instances of web roles and worker roles, and that's in two different racks.
And that happens automatically as you...
Automatically, yep. because I have two fault domains.
Yep.
Okay. And now, I want to upgrade the app. So I'm asking to have a few upgrade domains. Mm-hmm. And you can see the upgrade domains here, which means that now I'm upgrading VM1 and VM1 together, which means that when I do so, and the other VM will be still there,
mm-hmm.
which means that while I am upgrading on those two different racks, that doesn't mean that my app is down, because still there is another VM, another instance, which is not being upgraded now. It holds the older version, and it's not being upgraded now, so I am running. After doing so, and the upgrade is successful, only then I will go to the other upgrade domain, and now I will upgrade the other VMs. So as you can see, I have X and Y here. X is the fault domains, and the Y is the upgrade domain. Now, VIP swap, as we've seen, we've demonstrated that, means taking your existing application from staging to production. And all I have to do here is just to change the IP, the virtual IP. This is why it was done so quickly.
Yep.
So this is what I'm doing. I'm just swapping in environments using IP swap. We will speak about those virtual IP later on in the security talk. I'm just mentioning here that there is a virtual
sure.
IP. And this gives me another layer of security, which is very interesting. By the way, the external IP stays the same. You know, for me, that's the same stuff. So, as we said, first do your staging, mm-hmm. and then just click VIP, and you go back to...
Snap them right in, yeah.
Okay. So we'll see how it goes. We were in... that's production, that's staging,
mm-hmm.
and now we can just flip between the two as easy as that.
That's
so
sweet.
I have an app. I want to upgrade it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to upgrade it immediately to production, because maybe the upgrade was wrong, and maybe I just inserted few issues, etc., etc. I want to test that first against the cloud. So I upgrade my app to the staging slot. I do my testing, and then I go to production.
That's where the term swap. I was wondering, you know, just putting it in, and the swap implies that it goes two ways, and now I see why.
It's up and down, up and down.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, that is sweet, actually.
So, a rolling upgrade is exactly what we spoke about, which means you leverage upgrade domains, and you leverage the fault domains to be absolutely sure that your application will be up and running all the time.
Yes.
So, We have an upgrade here. We do it against one update domain. Mm-hmm. And then we continue and do it against the other upgrade domain. We never do that against the whole app at once. And this is a service that we get automatically from the Fabric controller. We don't have to deal with it. But this is just a demonstration how the cloud, the Azure cloud, really provides availability.
It's nice, isn't it? Platt's third law of the universe, laziness trumps everything.
Okay.
That is to say, all human beings are inherently lazy and be relied upon to do the absolute minimum they can possibly get away with under any and all circumstances, right? Therefore, that which is easy to do will be done frequently, whether it should be or not, and that which is hard to do will be done infrequently, whether it should be or not, right? Therefore, second corollary, a good design makes the good, smart, safe things easy to do and the bad, dangerous, stupid things hard to do. And here, the good, smart, safe thing is fairly easy to do.
Exactly. We don't really care about that.
Yeah.
But because we use more than one instance and mm-hmm. because we use the upgrade domains that we get automatically, mm-hmm. so we get such a safe policy to upgrade, which is not that easy to implement using on-premise data centers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, this is for the life cycle. We've been designing an app.
Yes.
And then we worked with Visual Studio, the same kind of stuff that we used to do. And we developed the app. We did debugging with F5 debugging. And then we worked against the local storage, and then we worked against the Azure storage. And we continued to do that, and then we tested the app. We uploaded the app. We scaled up and scaled down, because this is what we can do with the cloud. So we really leveraged the cloud, and we got the pay-as-you-use kind of pricing. And then we upgraded the app. And without hurting availability at all, with automation tools. So this is for the lifecycle. Now, you're most than welcome to do the training kit lab called Windows Azure Deployment using Visual Studio. And this lab, you'll do step by step what we just demonstrated here, how to deploy and manage an app using Visual Studio. And there are a little more links for resources that you're more than welcome to read and gain more information about the issues that we spoke and the topics we spoke about in this session. So thank you very much.
Great. I'll see everybody tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.